You write a lot. Both of you write. Because Terri Ann's been writing a lot, too.
I throw one in the mix here and there, but he writes all the time. And when I'm serious, all the time, I'm saying, like, pretty much every day.
So are you stacked up with songs?
Yes.
I'm stacked. I'm pretty stacked.
We play like, 3-hour shows. A lot of times, after COVID, too, getting back into it, I think we took one break on a 3-hour show, like one 15-minute break.
Yeah,
because you broke a string.
Go. But, yeah, it's just, you know, it's nice. It's something that, like, if it hits you, you got to write it.
Right.
We had a gig at Off Square Brewing last Sunday, and we started at 2 in the afternoon, so we're getting up and getting going, and we had to get, like, leaving pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And a song hit me, and, like, I had to sit and write it down. I had to, like, just, I'm like, hang on. I got to stop life for a minute and just write this down. It's just something, if it hits you, you got it. It's like the radio. You know, the mm-hmm. antenna goes up, and, like, you get the signal. It's like, I'm getting something. Something's coming in. Beep, 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 beep.
And that's what's so great about cell phones today is that you have the recording option.
So you can be in the car driving to a gig and sing it.
Singing
it's the best. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the best.
And you got your vocal partner with you. So yeah. You're sitting there, and you can harmonize in the car.
And she's the best. When Terri doesn't write a ton of songs, but let me tell you, when she does, it's great. She mm-hmm. hasn't written a clunker yet. There's some stuff I've written. I'm like, how could I have written that?
Now, for the distance, are you going to be recording with Albini again? Are you doing a home studio album? What are you doing?
It's going to be a mishmash. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. I've got my home studio. I got a brand new iMac and Logic Pro X and some awesome monitors. And I like rebuilt my studio after years. The last album I recorded was Milkman.
Wow.
So after that, I did Get a Rope. United Audio Technique in Chicago with a guy named Ray Nima, and then American Loser Albini. My Terri Ann was Albini, and Pepper was Albini. So the last record I recorded on my own was Milkman. So I do want to do some of my own recordings and still go in with Steve. Because
mm-hmm.
he's – just to have access to that guy is for recording is unbelievable. So we'll still go in with him, but it's probably going to be, I'd say, half and half. Half
now,
his and half mine.
To keep – releasing album after album every couple of years, that it's not a cheap effort. I've got to think they're selling fairly well because you continue to keep doing it and you still have a roof over your head.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, so
yeah.
That's a bonus.
It's good.
And you look like you're well fed, Bob.
I'm definitely well fed. There's no doubt that COVID-19 is 19 pounds.
There you go.
For sure.
So,
yeah.
So are you happy as the indie artist having been on a major label? Are you looking to maybe take this music and still shop it and get a deal? I mean, where is your mindset at 50 years old?
You know, my mindset is definitely not to get a record deal.
Okay.
It's definitely to stay independent and do our own thing as long as we can do it. There's so much freedom in being able to choose what you want to do. And to get up and say, hey, let's make a record. Let's put something out when we're ready.
Yes.
If we're not ready to play like 6 shows in a week and we want to do 3, then we'll say, let's do 3. So mm-hmm. not having – Terri's a booking agent.
Okay.
And, you know, we do everything in-house, which is great. But we can have choices then, which is nice. And definitely we work really hard. We go out and we work really hard, but it's at our own – a pace that we think we can handle, as opposed to a record label and a manager and a booking agent saying, you know, you got to get to Greensboro, North Carolina tomorrow.
Right.
And you're in Tucson. So it's like to have that kind of pressure, like now, I really wouldn't enjoy mm-mm. that kind of pressure. But,
no.
You know, 3-4 shows a week is great at nice, friendly craft breweries. And, you know, like our small fan base that we have, mm-hmm. it's nice to be able to go to Kalamazoo and know people are going to come out, or go down to Louisville and know people are going to come out and see us. It's nice to have that little range of...
So are you basically Midwest-based at this point? Great Lakes area?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, a lot of Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Kentucky. We've gone to Colorado. We got some FedEds in Colorado.
Yeah, family.
But to do, like, all that traveling all the time, it just isn't as appealing as it used to be.
Okay.
We're a little more germaphobe now, too. Like,
right.
Go to a hotel, like a Super 8 or something. It's great when you're 27. Yeah, let's party!
Yeah.
You know, but, like, now it's like, this room is gross.
So do you have, like, a Winnebago or something, or a trailer, or a camper?
We got a Honda Odyssey.
Yeah.
Oh.
2010 Honda Odyssey van. Mm-hmm. It's in great condition. We can load all our gear, all our merch, our bulldog,
right.
and just go out and do our shows.
Wow. So. And that's something I also want to address, is the fact that you guys, in addition to taking care of your own, each other, and your own career, You have given a lot to Bulldog Rescue.
Yes.
Definitely.
On the back of the album, is that Honeybee?
That's Honeybee.
I first met Daisy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Daisy was on stage with you many times and would basically guard the merchandise.
Yes.
Go
and
down.
Lick you to death if you touched it. You
know? Uh-huh. That's it.
Sweet dog. Honeybee, I got to know. I have not met your nude Bulldog.
No, Jilly Bean.
Yeah.
They've all had three names, or two names.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've had Jilly. Honeybee passed away in April, and it was right before COVID.
Very long.
No, we got her. We only got her. We got her at age 10, so we had her from 10 to 14. So Daisy lived to 14. We've gotten really lucky with these bulldogs, and then we got Honeybee right away. I think it was the same week at 10, lived to 14, and then we got Jilly Bean the same week. It's when you've had a bulldog in your home for 18 years, it's just hard to be.
Without one.
Yeah. So we just go back and rescue now. And so we have Jilly Bean. She's 3.5. We know that she was a breeding dog, two different breeders. I think she had 2 or 3 litters by the time she was 3. So she's ready just to be spoiled. And and she's in training. We took her to one show where she just barked her head off. So now we're working with a trainer.
And your friend, too, this girl, Liz.
Liz Geisen.
Yep.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She is.
And we had a 2-hour session yesterday, T.
Yeah, and she's with the Sound Beginning program. Yep. And
Yeah,
we've had Sound Beginning on here a number of years ago. It's been a while. Basically, it's using classical music and different styles of music to help ease stress and ease anxieties. It worked with my pit bull.
Yeah.
Liz did miracles. Everybody thought this dog was going to have to be put down. Working with Liz, she turned Mia's life around. And you still say, Liz, and Mia's ears go up. We got to go see her. She misses her. But she works magic. She's like the horse whisperer or something to dogs,
amazing.
Especially pits and stuff.
Yeah,
We had a 2-hour session yesterday, and she goes, "Do you know Tom and Alice Lounges?" I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna be at Tom's show Midwest Beat tomorrow." She's like, "I'll be listening." So if she's
very
listening right now.
Great. Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Yes.
I got to say, we talk about her all the time at home. We haven't seen her in ages, but we still say, "You want to go see Liz?" And her ears will go up. It's like Alice keeps promising, "We're going to go see Liz." And I think she liked Liz especially because she always had a pocket full of treats.
Yes.
Never did she come anywhere without a pocket full of treats.
No,
and Mia knew that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she had Jilly Bean under her command yesterday. I couldn't believe it. It was like a new bulldog because Jilly's young. She's 3 years old. She's very rambunctious. We'll just put it that way.
And not a big fan of other dogs right now.
Yeah, so we're getting her in training.
And you bring her on stage into show, so she's got to get with the program.
We
thought she would. We did a couple of
We're not
going
to get booked. Yeah. I mean, every place we've played, we brought her out to Granger, Indiana, to Bear Hands Brew, and it was not good. She barked the whole time.
Oh, no.
So luckily, we had a friend taking her in and outside and just helping out, but it didn't work out. So the past few shows, we've had like, where's Jilly? Where's your new bulldog? I'm like, well, she's at home. We can't bring her out yet. Like, well, listen, she's part of the act. So she's not in
the act. Was it last summer that you played in Highland or the summer before?
And Honeybee came.
And Honeybee was there.
Both summers, I think we played 2.
Yeah.
And Honeybee was the hit of the show.
Yes.
You were doing one-liners with her, and she'd lay down, she'd get up, she'd look at people. And it's like, Honeybee is running the merch booth over here. Mm. And people would laugh and clap. I mean, very much part of that show.
Yes.
It's a big
It was
part
like
of
vaudeville.
It is.
It really was.
It's a big part of what we do. So having a bulldog on stage with us, and a lot of the breweries that we play are dog friendly.
Right.
So we could bring our bullies with and be able to hang out and have some fun. And, we did it with Daisy Duke, who you met. We did it with Honeybee. We have to do it with Jilly Bean. So there's Liz.
Yeah.
So
come on, Liz.
I told her.
Get
her
in line.
We're not going to get booked anymore unless we can bring the bulldog.
My career depends on you, Liz.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't bring the bulldog, you're not getting booked.
With the bullies, you do fundraising for them too. I mean, you don't just adopt or foster a bulldog. You actually work with the organization. Which organization is it?
It's Chicago English Bulldog Rescue. And if anybody is interested, it's ebullymatch.com. You can see what we do. But we've been with the group for 13 years. The group's been around for 13 years. We were part of it probably within the first, 6 months they were around.
Okay.
We had taken Daisy to a meetup in Chicago, a bulldog meetup for the first time, and they were just starting the rescue, and we got involved. And you know, it's a great organization, foster-based, and we do so much work to place these dogs. We do, you know, the vet checks, the landlord checks if they're renting.
Mm-hmm.
We do in-depth phone interviews, and we do in-depth home visits before an applicant is approved to adopt one of the dogs because we want the perfect match.
Right.
And
it's easier to adopt a child.
Right. That's for sure. But yeah, it's, and the Sound Beginning program, our adopters have to purchase the Sound Beginning program book and CD before the bulldog enters the home so they can read and be prepared. What is it like to bring a rescue dog into your home?
Right.
You know, so
it's so have you found that Sound Beginnings, because it did work with us. I mean, I would play the CD in the car when I would take Mia for rides and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I did notice that she would get mellower. Now, she was a pup. She was a bulldog. She was, we think, somehow abused in some way because she, I think Liz put it best, or maybe it was Alice. She said, Mia's a sweet dog, but she's got some screws loose. So we have to continually tighten the screws.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a beautiful analogy, because when the screws are tightened, she's the most loving dog I've ever had. And she is my sidekick. We go to the camper. She jumps in the lake. I mean, she wears pajamas. I mean, she watches. Right now, she's at home watching Paw Patrol. She loves Paw Patrol. So we put the cartoons on for her. And she lays there in her pajamas on the couch waiting for me to come home. And when I come home, she's all over me. And we just adopted a golden that we thought we're going to foster, but it's now ours. We are terrible foster parents. We always just keep them.
Yeah. Foster fails.
Yes, foster fails. But Mia, who we never thought would take to new animals, has embraced every new critter we take in, whether it's a cat, a dog, whatever. That's has her distance. Great. She'll like lay the law down and say, okay, this is my couch and this is my toy. You can have all of that over there. Stay out of my territory. Mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she does it in a sweet way. I mean, as sweet as a could be, you know.
Sure.
It's dog talk.
Yeah, it's dog talk. Yeah,
and it's very cool to see that. And I think Sound Beginnings. I'm glad you brought that up because that's something that we do need to encourage for animal people.
Yes, definitely. Sound Beginning.
You could do a Sound Beginning acoustical guitar thing, like a 12-string Leo Kottke kind of thing. See, you could make a difference in a dog's life right now just by recording that.
Thank you. We're going to do that.
I think that's a good idea.
I think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. We need to do that.
Because that CD does wear out. I mean, if you're a dog owner and you listen ad nauseum to it, okay, I've had enough. It's beautiful, but I've had enough. And the dog might not get tired of it, but I am. So if you offer some alternatives and do, like, for those dogs that like American folk music.
Tom, we're going to have to give you a cut because we're going to do it.
And
I think that's
it.
A great idea.
I do. I do think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're always writing songs.
Make a CD for Sound Beginnings.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. We can get mellow.
We can get totally mellow. Yes.
Sleep. Little dog.
Yeah.
Sleep. Little dog.
Sleep.
Go to sleep.
change keys.
Little dog.
I think Jose just fell asleep.
Yes.
Sleep, little dog.
We write a
sleep,
lot about
little dog.
Oh, no.
Sleep, little dog. Sleep. Why won't you sleep?
When we had Candace Knight on, Richie Blackmore's wife, Blackmore's Night, she had a solo album. It was basically lullabies for children. And I was telling her, because I had the album for a couple months before she was on the show. She's been on several times. And I told her, I says, you know, I actually play it for Mia, who at that time was maybe 2 years old. I said, she's a hyper type of pit bull dog. I mean, you know, she's not aggressive, but she's got screws loose. And she was so thrilled to hear that this. She goes, I made it for kids, but if it helps dogs or animals, she goes, that's a bonus. So she's actually talked about it on other radio shows. She goes, you know, you may want to try this. A friend of mine tried this, and it worked for their dogs. And I guess it's catching on. Her lullaby album is actually being embraced by dog people. I've had, you know, people at our shelter that I've suggested it to.
Yeah.
But, it's amazing.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
And we love being mellow.
Mm-hmm.
We love it. I mean, we rock out at our shows, but like after that, we're like, we're ready to get mellow.
Yes. Yeah.
So we need to do that.
That
would be fantastic.
That's great. And is there a link to the Bully Rescue on your site?
There's not. It's just eBully Match, EBULLY Match.com.
EBullyMatch.com.
Chicago English yeah. Bulldog
Rescue. Maybe you could put a picture of your three bullies up there and you can yes. click on them and it'll take you to the rescue.
We need to do that.
That's a great idea.
Because mm-hmm. yeah. they have had a presence on your website for sure. Yeah.
And our,
on your albums, yes. and on stage, so
in
put them on the website.
On t-shirts, on everything, yeah. that's for sure.
Bob writes songs all the time. So we have a Jelly Bean one, too. We have Daisy and Bee. We got a lot of songs.
Yeah, you have your new song.
I do have a new song. Like
called
I said,
Daisy and a Bee. About
he writes
Daisy Duke
all
and
the
Honey
time,
Bee.
But I did write a song.
Do you want to play it? Are you ready to play it?
Yeah, we can play it.
Okay. She does a kazoo solo in it, too, Tom.
Oh, how sweet.
She went to college.
I love that.
She took a college course on how to play the kazoo.
Play the kazoo.
In Kalamazoo. That's the live joke.
But yeah, while you're gearing up for that, I got to say that of all the different artists that are out there that I've been dealing with lately, you guys have a steady calendar. This Saturday, Four Fathers Brewing in Valpo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On Sunday, the 20th, St. Julian Winery in Union Pier, Michigan. Tinley Park, you've got on September 25th, Hailstrom Brewing. I'm not familiar with them.
They're
District
fantastic.
Brew Yards in Chicago. Zorn Brewing, love that place in Michigan City. We want to tie in with them somehow with the record store. I know they do a vinyl night, and I want to try to become the vinyl night sponsor.
Nice.
That would be fantastic.
So that would be
Zorn's
a lot of fun.
Great.
Blue Noise Brewery in Hodgkins, Illinois.
Yeah,
not familiar with that.
Yeah.
So you're booked, I mean, all the way through December 20th. Several dates. So you're working a lot.
We're working.
Now, are these places pretty much set up for the social distancing? Because most of these are indoor now, right?
So far, they've been outdoor.
Okay. We've been outdoor for almost everything. We were going to play outdoors at Bare Hands Brew in Granger, but it rained, so we did go inside. But all the gigs have been outdoor, and the breweries are doing a great job socially distancing with tables and all that kind of stuff. And Sunday, people had to wait at Off Square to come in and see us because they're only letting so many people in at a time. Which is great. So they're being very conscientious about COVID and trying to keep their business open and have entertainment.
Right.
So,
aren't we all?
Yeah. I mean, that's
this
the thing.
This is a very rough time. And I'm so glad to see artists finally getting to not have to do just virtual.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice, but you just lose that feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's like watching MTV too long. You know, it's like, okay, without the quality production. I mean, everyone's got different quality of phones, and some of them not so good.
For sure.
And you're getting glitches, and you're looking like Max Headroom up there with a guitar.
Right.
You know, for those of that are old enough to remember Max Headroom.
Either.
You're 50, you remember. So, but you're getting out there and playing, and I see a few others starting to do it, and I can't wait to the day when we are going to start being able to do indoor shows at the Record Bin again.
Man.
The new store, we have a brand new stage. I can't wait to get you on. It's 16 by 9. Just bought a brand new EV sound system, still in the box for the last 6 weeks, because it's like, what's the point of setting it up? We can't do anything.
Yeah.
Right now.
But we're doing busking again. Last 2-3 weeks, we've had buskers outside, which is street performing, for those that don't know the term.
Yep.
I saw that.
And
on Facebook.
James Gett is going to be there this Saturday, I guess tomorrow. We've had Jack Whittle. We've had Leanne Stutler. We've had Derek Caruso.
Nice.
So the busking stuff is popular.
Yeah.
You know, everyone likes to feel like there's something going on. So as you're walking down the street in Hobart going to the post office, you hear guitar music across the street. So you come over and you throw a dollar in a guitar case and you enjoy a song or two. And then you move on, go have lunch or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
But I think it's important that businesses do that because you guys have had it hard. I mean, we all have had it hard, but musicians... Oh,
entertainment
God.
Has been wiped out. I mean, just wiped out. And when we couldn't play shows, doing the virtual thing is something. But it's hard to make a Facebook concert new every time, you know.
Right.
And it's hard to get the feeling of playing a live show. I think we did a good job with it, but we kind of ran out of steam with that as far as, like, man, it's just we're, you know, we set up our dining room as the Fetterson Cafe. So we got posters up and all kinds of stuff in the background. We made it look as cool as we could. But, you know, after, like, doing, like, 6 shows, we're like, oh, man, do you want to do another virtual concert? It's just so hard not to be with people. We're people. So, you know, it's nice
to have
interact.
That feedback. And, you know, the virtual tip jars, I guess they work. Some people said they've done okay with them. But, you know, when you're seeing someone perform, you have that urge to take your wallet and drop a 20 in that guitar case instead of, I'll send $2. You know, because you're feeling it. There's that connection.
Yes, no doubt about it.
And like when we do the Record Bin shows, we'll go up, we'll put the tip jar, and you suddenly, like half hour into the show, you start seeing people like nodding their heads, tapping their feet, really getting into it and saying, I appreciate this person playing these songs for me. I'm spending an afternoon watching them do their work, and I'm enjoying it. So let's throw money in the tip.
And when you'll see that,
$100, $150 by the end of an hour or two. You know, that's nice.
We got our second $100 tip.
We did.
The other day. I checked our tip jar, and one time we played at out in Fair Oaks, and the owner put $100 in our tip jar, and that was, but we saw him do it. Mm-hmm. We didn't see this person do it, and when we were done playing our gig, I'm like normally counting up like, you know, like 13 singles.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like,
holy
$100. Whoa.
There's a Benjamin in here.
Right? Yeah. Jose, were you at the gig? That was really, really generous. And for the tip jars live too, for the virtual concerts, we did really well, and we're really grateful for that, because you know, I mean, that's the income.
That's what you do.
So it was nice to have fans really come through for us without feeling like we were pandering.
Yeah,
right.
That's the other thing. We don't like to do, you know, feel sorry for us, this kind of thing.
Right, here's
like
my tin cup, more gruel, please.
Yeah, we're going to put on a good show for you, and we do have a tip jar if you want to visit it, robertralphbetterson.com, and you can put something in. So we definitely threw it out there, but we definitely did not want to be like we've seen a lot of people. Whatever anyone does is fine.
Right,
but for us, we do not feel good pandering to people, you know, feel sorry for us, this and that. Like, we'll put on a good show for you.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, hopefully we get a little something back.
Yep.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Well, you got your kazoo in hand.
Hey. Oh, man. Can we hear that kazoo, T?
What is this song? Is this about the dogs?
I think my kazoo is kind of losing its...
Kazooey?
Does it sound all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
That's kazooey.
So it's funny because the song... It's called Daisy and a Bee, and the song is really about me singing about a flower and a bee, an insect, but it's really about our dogs, Daisy and Honeybee. So it's just kind of a play on words, but the meaning is the bulldogs. So.
Excellent. Well, this is a new song, and you wrote it, correct?
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Called Daisy and a Bee.
Daisy and the Bee.
Okay. Am I close enough?
Ready, kid?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a daisy growing in my yard. There's a daisy growing in my yard. I could look at her all day long. Think I'll sit down and write you a song. Sweet, sweet daisy. Sweet, sweet daisy. So perfectly pretty. You want my heart completely now. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Hey, there's a honeybee buzzing around my yard. There's a honeybee buzzing around my yard. She's gonna land on my daisy. Kick back and listen to me sing. Sweet, sweet honeybee. Sweet, sweet honeybee. So sweet, so silly. You stole my heart completely now. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Hey, there's a cool breeze blowing in my yard. There's a cool breeze blowing in my yard. Daisy's petals are swaying. Honeybee's still buzzing and rocking to me sing. Sweet, sweet daisy. Sweet, sweet daisy. So perfectly pretty. You want my heart completely. And there's a sweet, sweet honeybee. A sweet, sweet honeybee. So sweet, so silly. So my heart completely now. Do, do, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do
Awesome. Love the kazoo.
And
well, again, that opens the door to doing children's music.
Yes.
That is, and that is a big market right now.
Definitely.
A lot of people are homeschooling and raising their kids in a new way, more family based, especially a lot of the younger folks now. The whole children's music scene is huge. I mean, going back to even the big folk singers of the 60s.
Arlo Guthrie.
Yeah. Bonnie Kolak. All of these artists have Steve Goodman. They all used to do children's stuff.
Yeah.
Ralph Covert. Of course, Ralph's World now out of Chicago. But we see all these wonderful songs that are sing-alongs.
Yeah.
And that's easy. There's not a lot of lyrics to that. Mm-mm. But it's cute. The kids can bring out their kazoo. Remember playing kazoo in elementary school?
Right, I sure do.
You had the recorder and you had the kazoo.
Yes.
Hot cross buns.
Yeah, yeah.
Hot cross buns.
Yeah. That's how old is that song? When did you write that?
I fairly just wrote new. That. I mean, it's really fairly new. I would
You're
say
new stuff here, Tom.
Maybe 6 months ago? I don't know. Maybe
6 months. Yeah, it's new.
It's pretty new.
It's really nice to hear your voice up front. I mean, I'm used to hearing you do background. You've got a beautiful voice when you actually put it out there.
Thank you.
She's amazing.
You need to do more.
Yes.
He's been, you know, for years he's been saying we have to do a My Tyrion album. So we will be. We'll be working on that.
We're going to do a Tyrion record, all Tyrion's music.
Yeah.
That's for sure. All her stuff. This is definitely been a project in the works for a long time, getting her just to come and play with me and sing backups and all that stuff and slowly put in her own songs in our set. And the one thing I don't do, which we've been together 31 years now, I don't tell my wife what to do. Mm-mm. So when she wants to do it,
that's secret great. To your success.
That and separate bathrooms. So that's it. But that's something like when she has a song and she feels comfortable playing it and singing it, like I'm all for it.
Right.
I don't push it, which is, you know, I just kind of nudge. It's a little nudge.
Like, yeah.
And when she does have a song, I'm like, I love it. That song is great.
Well,
like
you said, she hasn't done any clunkers yet.
No, none.
So they may not be as forthcoming as yours, one after another, but when she does them, they're good.
Yeah, nice. Absolutely.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, we were talking about all these dates coming up in September, October, November, December. I'm assuming because of COVID, these are duo shows. I mean, you have a full band. But
most of them are duo.
What's the band doing? What's Ingrid and everybody doing?
So when we play in Illinois, Ingrid comes out. She lives in Oak Park now. So Illinois shows, she comes out and plays. A lot of the Indiana and Michigan shows, we have a harmonica guy named Pat Troy who comes out and plays with us. So,
Ingrid does violin, fiddle.
Ingrid's violin and fiddle, and Pat Troy is the blues harp. And then
Michigan man congas with Aaron, too.
And we have a guy in Michigan, too, Aaron Miller from Kalamazoo. He'll play congas with us and add some percussion. So
it's like the Robert and Terry and Friends show.
Exactly.
At this point.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a pickup basketball game, too. Like whoever's in town. Like, you know, if you can come out and play violin. If you can come out and play, like, the harp, come out and play the harp. The harmonica thing has been sounding great with, like, the folk songs. Mm-hmm. It's really a cool thing. So we have that element and then, like, the percussive element, too, with our friend Aaron. So it's kind of like, you know, like, if we're in Michigan and Aaron can make it, great. If we're in Indiana and Pat can make it, great. We're in Illinois and Ingrid can make it, awesome.
Yeah.
So we kind of do it like that, but then we can always just hold our own as a two-piece.
Right.
So,
right.
And we like doing a lot of two-piece shows as well. It's a little more, we can get a little crazier together and not leave someone left out, mm-hmm. you know? So definitely tell a little more stories and that kind of thing, you know? So
it's bookings, fun. You're the booking agent as well.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
How have bookings started back up again? I mean, are you seeing more and more calls coming in? Are people loosening up a little bit? Are we seeing more venues?
They are, you know, with a lot of breweries and places are adding to their patios or expanding their patios so they can have not only people outside, but, you know, music outside as well. Mm-hmm. So that's been helping. And then they've just been, you know, social distancing their tables inside or having a specific area for the band where, you know, 6 feet apart from anyone coming up and things like that. So,
okay. Yeah. What's next? You have a new album that's coming out in 2021.
Yeah.
Looking forward, hoping that COVID is done in the next 6 months, if we're optimistic, year, if we're maybe not as optimistic. But we're going to get through this at some point.
Yes.
So what is the game plan now for your career? You don't want to look for a label. You've got a new album coming out. You've redone your studio. So there's going to be more production there.
Definitely.
What's going on? What are you looking at in the long term?
You know, continuing to work. Continuing to work is success in this business. As long as we continue to work and play live shows, continue to write and get, you know, maybe some TV shows or movie trailers or soundtracks, like that kind of thing is great.
But which also is dried up.
Definitely. Yeah, all of it's dried up right now. But, you know, I think that we're going to be looking at being busier than we've ever been. Once this thing clears up, because everybody's going to be jonesing for live entertainment and movies are going to be looking for new music and songs. And I think we're going to see a resurgence of the entertainment industry. You're going to see a fervor that I don't think people have seen before, because to see that go away, for us to play 178 shows last year and then this year play 7 or 8 shows, you know, it's a big difference. So I think a lot of people are going to be revitalized after this. And I really think we're going to have to just keep up. So I think in music, continuing to work is success. It's the work that you put in and go and do. That's the joy of it. So as long as I'm 50 years old, as long as I can keep singing and playing and Terry can keep singing and playing like well, then we'll do it. If we start sucking, then we're done. Like, that's it.
But then it's dog walking.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Then it's something else, that's for sure. But as long as we can continue to work and increase our fan base and put out more albums and you know, build the catalog, that's the goal, to keep working. I love to work. You know, we're workers. We've always been workers. And when we dug into doing full-time music, we just said, you know, let's work as hard as we can. And it's always been a gig offered for the right pay has always been yes and thank you. And you've been a big part of that for us. You've employed us a lot over the years.
Yes.
And we appreciate it. And
not as much as I'd like to, but
well,
that can change again.
For sure. For sure. But it's always with us. It's yes and thank you. And then we're ready to go.
So. I would have to agree with what Steve Albini told you, Terry, because Robert and yourself have always been very professional to work with. If I say, okay, you got to be on stage at X amount of time, you got to show up for this, you guys are never late. I mean, not with me anyway. You've never been late.
No.
You've never gone over. Unless it's like, hey, can you fill some time? And so then, then again, the professional is going to say, well, you know, I'm not going. I want $10 more for 2 more songs. You guys are like, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
I mean, I do say that working with you is always a pleasure. I have never had any stress level working with you professionally.
Thank you, thank you. And this is one of the few times that I'm doing an interview where I'm not sweating because we're with a professional.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about you. And you don't have to worry about me, which is nice. It's a nice symbiotic relationship.
It is.
It's great when things are professional. And when they're professional, it's just fun. It's way more fun to put on a good show and do a good job than show up with an attitude and show up late and, you know, I don't really want to play an extra 2 songs.
Yeah.
I mean, like, then why even be in this
business?
Then why
are you in it?
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder that. You know,
I do too.
I've done some things where I've asked bands, would you consider doing a fundraising thing for our shelter or whatever? And some band, I'm not trying to lump anyone into a category, but there are bands that I thought would say, yeah, we're happy to help. That just like, what's it pay? No, you're missing it. It's a fundraiser because we have dogs that literally need homes. We have dogs that are in the streets. We have dogs that have been abused in so many ways. Could you maybe share your talent? I'm not asking for money. Mm-hmm. Just come out for an hour and play some songs.
And come play. Yeah. And how about the
animals?
And
we charge a couple dollars at the door, and you know, you're giving your music, and the money goes to help feed the dogs or take care of them or provide meds. And I'm seeing this on a level that's disheartening in so many ways. And not just the performers, but you know, we do Pet Rock, in which we ask for donations of signed items or you know, albums or unique things, and we auction them. And 100% goes to the animals. We're finding harder and harder to get artists as they are dying off. Old friends like Charlie Daniels was a huge supporter
right?
of us.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Rogers, you know, Ian Anderson. These guys,
man. Yeah,
anytime I'd pick up and say, hey, could you donate a T-shirt or an album or a signed guitar?
Yeah.
I've never had people of that level say, well, no, you know. But the younger artists, we're seeing that. And I hate to see that happen, that hardening.
Yeah.
They're absolutely not embracing what you guys do and what people of our generation do in where they give back, give and take. Like you said earlier, it's give and take. It's become, you know, they always said the me generation was coming up behind us. I'd like to think that there's more giving involved. But are you seeing that?
You know,
work in charity
as well. I'll be really honest
with
you. Yeah, I mean, we're always up for that. And we always play for our Bulldog Rescue. I'll MC at Lagunitas. We do like a once a year thing where we play and I'll, you know, MC it and, you know, and spin music and all that kind of stuff. That again, too, that's always yes. And thank you for involving us with that. As far as animals go, I mean, like, that's always like something that's near and dear to us. You know, for music, I can just say from my own experience, a lot of people that I have met that I try to impart my philosophy to is be grateful, have an attitude of gratitude with all of it, because nobody has to book you. Nobody has to ask you to play. There's lots of musicians, but there is a God's gift syndrome that's out there, and for people that haven't sold any albums and haven't really done anything, because you're talented doesn't mean that you're going to get booked and have fans and have people ask you to do something. So when you're asked to do something, yes,
if
and
possible.
Thank you. If you can.
If you can.
If you can do it. And, you know, I think that, you know, it has to be important to you.
Right.
You know, if animals and giving is important to you, then, you know, then you should go out and play for them.
Right.
If it's not, unfortunately, you know, that's not a person I really want to be friends with. But if you don't care about animals and, you know, you don't want to give your music. I mean, you know, music's about sharing as well as making a living. So if you can share your music with people and help out some animals, boy, that's like, you know,
I'm
that's
glad
a
to
gift.
Hear that. Yes. I'm, you know, the whole God's gift thing. I mean, I'm glad I'm not just looking tunnel vision, that you're seeing some of that, too.
I've seen a lot of it.
Young artists, come on, get with it. You know, give back. No one's asking you to give the store away, but come out and do an hour. Share your tunes. You never know who's going to be in the audience.
That's the thing.
Ever.
You don't know ever.
Every gig's important. You don't know where it's going to lead.
Every gig.
And that's what Bob always says. And you also wrote a song called Attitude of Gratitude during the same.
I have.
Wow.
Yes.
Do you want to play that?
It's not on
I'd love
anything
to play
yet. It's a new
one,
too.
I didn't even think about that.
Yes.
Wow.
I was just thinking
We've got about almost 20 minutes left.
Okay.
So we got time to do another live one, and then we'll play something off the album.
Okay.
The new album.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, attitude of gratitude. Ready? Okay.
I'm not going to put the tambourine too close. It's pretty bright.
You better keep your nose clean. Try to do the right thing. Always turn the light off when you leave the room. Always say pretty please. God bless when you sneeze. Tell her that she's beautiful and that she looks wonderful. And have an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. And you try to be a cool dude every day. Have an attitude of gratitude. and attitude and gratitude, and you try to be a cool dude every day. Always say thank you, never say F you. Call your mother once a week and be polite when you speak. Better keep your nose clean, try to do the right thing. Always turn the light off when you leave the room, and have an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. And you try to be a cool dude every day. Have an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. And you try to be a cool dude every day. You have an attitude of gratitude, have an attitude of gratitude. And you try to be a cool dude or dudette every day.
Attitude of gratitude. And that is live from the studio here at Midwest Beat, Lakeshore Public Radio. Again, that's not been recorded?
No, no, wow. Not been recorded, not on an album, out anywhere.
I got a treasure trove of some amazing stuff here that you guys are doing. This is good radio. Speaking of radio, you do radio. Still doing it?
I do. You know what? I've taken a break. The station hasn't had anything live yet, you know, over in Valparaiso. But I am starting a podcast called Fedhead.
Okay.
And I've got all my gear set up. I'm getting my whole studio revamped, and I'm going to ask you to be a guest.
I'd love to.
On the podcast.
But we'll be flipping that coin over, won't we?
Right? No doubt about it. We'll definitely be flipping. No doubt about it. So I'm excited to be starting a podcast. I'm going to do it once a week, half-hour shows, and just keep putting stuff out like every every Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that. Mm-hmm. Just keep dropping them at the same time. But definitely embracing the podcast thing, because it's something I can do professionally from home.
Right.
And boy, was it hard not to go to the radio station and do the live show every week. So not being able to do that, Terry and I decided, like, let's just get some new gear, new computer, new microphones, new speakers, everything, and start doing some more home recording and start our podcast.
I just bought a podcast board. It's still in the box too. Okay. You know, I am not a tech kind of guy.
That's why
I have Jose here,
right, Jose?
Because I just can't figure out some of this newfangled stuff. You know, I want turntables and a microphone,
yeah. Right?
And everything now has little buttons and colors, and
you
got to
set up a router and Wi-Fi and call.
So I spent the money, I bought the stuff, and now it sits in a box in my office until I get some help setting it up.
Yeah. But that's the thing.
That's the thing.
We got a guy for you that can help you out. We were up till like 12:30 last night. We've been every Thursday hitting it with this, our friend Brian Thevenin, who is helping me set up the studio. And he's helped me out every Thursday for the past 5 Thursdays in a row. So we're up late getting everything hooked up and getting all the programs programmed and getting a backup drive and just every technical thing that goes into it that I don't know either.
Right.
But we're getting it done, so it'll be professional and sounding professional. But definitely going to start that hopefully in like mid-October.
Okay.
So it'll be Fedhead.
And you can even do that on the road.
Yeah. Anyway.
You know, that's what's ideal with a laptop. I remember at the other station that shall be unnamed, when I was doing stuff with, you know, Alice Cooper, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
These guys would do it out of their tour bus. So I'd be on the bus, and Alice goes, where'd you do your show? Well, here, in this little closet area. Here's my laptop and a microphone.
Right?
And I was like, wow, that was the first time I realized you could do a lot of stuff anywhere.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You know, you can literally take your laptop and a microphone, go in the bathroom and record a show.
Yeah.
And get great echo, by the way.
Right, definitely. great echo, nice reverb.
Yeah, there you go. Natural, no tools.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that. So it'll be Fedhead? Is
Fedhead.
That, okay,
Fedhead. It's going to be called Fedhead, and it's going to be the podcast. And
we'll definitely share that on our Facebook pages and stuff and get the word out there.
I appreciate that.
And let's
do
something in the newspaper with that, too. When you're ready to do it,
boy,
We'll start. We'll let people know what you're doing.
That'd be fantastic.
Terry, really gonna be a part of that too?
Oh yeah. Yeah, Terry's. Yeah,
are there Terry heads out there?
There's Terry heads. Yeah, so like, yeah, we just went with Feddersons and Fed heads. There's dead heads, fish heads, parrot heads. Like, why not Fed heads? Yeah.
Why not?
We're a couple of Feddersons.
Yeah. There you
we
go.
We got big heads, so not ego wise,
right?
But yeah, we just want to look forward to starting that, and just also as a way to give to other artists as well. You know, like exactly what you do, Tom. Promoting other people's music and other people's careers.
Well, you realize I do that because I have no talent myself.
I this live is the talent.
I live that, through osmosis with you guys. You know, I mean, I hang out with the talented folks, and I kind of like hitch my wagon, and I'm like, yeah, I'm hanging with Robert Roll Feddersen today. I'm hanging with Ian Anderson tomorrow, and I'm hanging with Jose tomorrow, you know. So I mean, it's fun because I did try to do the music thing, and I had a couple of minor experiences singing and doing sing rockabilly, that kind of stuff. But I learned a long time ago that it was not my calling. It was my desire, but not my calling.
Sure.
So you have to find that niche. And mine was behind the scenes, whether it was booking, club work, whatever, DJing. And so I lived through, you know, osmosis with you guys. I hitched my wagon to the guitars. And
well, you have a genuine love for it, and your knowledge is just uncompared. I mean, you're like a musicologist, and you've met everybody. So, I mean, like, you've been a part of it, and people wouldn't want to have you be a part of it if you didn't have that passion for it and that love for it. I mean, you're not going to pull the wool over Ian Anderson's eyes. You know, he wants to talk.
He still makes me a little intimidated because it sounds like you're interviewing Shakespeare when you talk to him. He's like an old college professor with that English broken and accent, and he's so intelligent. And I feel like humming, 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 humming. I mean, I've interviewed him many times. I still get nervous when I know he's going to call.
You know, I
not
mean,
too many people do that to me, but he makes me nervous in a good way.
It keeps you on your toes, which is great. But, you know, you're also, you know, there talking to him because, you know, you can match that with your knowledge of music and his career and songs and knowing like who produced it and, you know, where it was produced and who played drums on this album and who the engineer was. I mean, all that kind of stuff. A lot of people don't have that kind of knowledge, that intimate knowledge of an artist and their work. So, like, when you have that, like, he's going to want to talk to you. You know, he's not talking to a rube. So,
what's your favorite color, man?
Exactly. You like pizza? I like pizza. Hey, you do? Hey, let's go out for pizza.
Yeah, we've had some good guests lately. Now that the COVID thing, people are starting to want to get their music out there again. And whether they're releasing it on CD or they're doing virtual concerts and tying it in and hoping, you know, people are starting to book 2021 mid-year, late year.
Yeah.
We just had Steve Hackett on from Genesis fame. He called from London a couple weeks ago. Coming up, I don't have a specific date yet, but we've got Noddy Holder from Slade. He'll be calling us.
Whoa.
We're going to have Mick Box from Uriah Heep coming on. Rob Halford from Judas Priest will be with me.
Yeah.
Most of these, I think, will be phone interviews because of the fact nobody wants to travel. But the guests are coming back out of the woodwork. And thank God, because for a long time, you were talking about, you know, the ghost town atmosphere of radio and studios. I was in here with Jose, and we're looking at each other going, like, well, what are we going to do? You know, because it's like we can't have a guest in. And a lot of them weren't even wanting to talk on the phone because they had nothing new to talk about.
Sure.
You know, they're like, okay, we're just woodshedding and writing. There's really nothing to fill time with. We don't want to play the old stuff. So, you know, it was hard-pressed to find good guests. They're all starting to come out saying, well, while we were down, we wrote all these great songs, and here's a demo or here's an advance. And it's cool. We just had Joe Bouchard on, the bass player from Blue Oyster Cult that was a founding member.
Wow.
Working with Dennis Dunaway of the Alice Cooper Band. We played a song for the first time on radio that Alice sang on with them in a side project.
Man.
So it's like, this is brilliant. You know, we're able to have these great shows again.
Well,
so that downtime, like you were saying, will transpose into live shows.
Yeah.
We're seeing it already on radio. Everybody's jonesing for fun and music again.
For
so
sure.
Hopefully we'll get through this. We'll get back to work, and we'll all have and hopefully your dog will be trained by then.
Yeah.
We're hoping. Come on, Liz, help us out. We need some more help. That's for sure. So. No, that doesn't surprise me, Tom, at all. And I think again, like you guys, you know, doing a great show for years, you're going to be busier than you've ever been once this thing ceases to exist, right. I mean, you're going to be busier than ever. You're going to be stacking up interviews for like a year. I mean, it's definitely going to – there's going to be a turnaround to all this, and people in entertainment are really going to be in need.
Yeah.
Because people need it. They can't get it. But, you know, once it's available again, you know, I can't tell you how many people have like, you're playing live? Holy cow. We had a line out the door at Off Square for people who wanted to come see some live music. And not necessarily like just us, but live music.
Right.
So, you know, it's something that I think a radio show, a live radio show, people are definitely going to be wanting to be on.
We're seeing capacity audiences, you know, at 50%.
Yeah.
Even the live shows that we're doing, like I said, yesterday we did Oscar and Majestic. It was rainy, so it wasn't as big a crowd. But we've done, you know, the Pink Floyd tribute. We had them out there, Echoes of Pompeii. We had the Relics. We've got Oscar and the Majestics. We've had Sounds of Santana. This Sunday, I'll have Mellon Cougar in Highland.
Okay.
It's huge parks. You can socially distance crazy amounts. You know, you wear your mask when you order a beer or whatever you're doing, and then you can take them off and sit with your significant other and enjoy a day in the sun or under the stars.
Yeah.
And to see that, it's like a rebirth because, you know, you sit at the stage sometimes and people are just sitting there on their phone or whatever. They're getting up and they're moving and their phones are put away unless they're videotaping to share it somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But nobody's Googling and doing weird things. They're actually there for the music. And that's a refreshing thing to see. And may it stay that way.
Yes.
You know, that we don't get sidetracked again and make music the background.
Yeah. No doubt.
Because we need to appreciate what we lost.
Yes, well, I agree.
And I'll tell you what, Terry Ann and I were always good for a 50% half capacity crowd.
Just saying.
You need half capacity? We could do that.
RobertRolfPedersen.com is where you'll find them. All the dates are there. They can contact you for bookings.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You can get merch there. You can buy the albums.
Everything online.
Everything.
You get the records online, all of it. And we have new vinyl in. So
excellent. I need to get some of that.
We'll get some.
Let's play a song to say goodbye. What's something off the newest album?
Let's do Five Below. It's about going to Kalamazoo during a blizzard.
Okay. And it's track number 3.
Terry and I were going 20 miles an hour on 8094 trying to get to Kalamazoo. And instead of freaking out, we just kind of like came up with this song. So this is Five Below and the snow's got to go.
All right. This is Robert Rolf Pedersen, Pepper in His Heart. And rest in peace, our little friend Honeybee.
Yeah, thank
you. Yawning on the back.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that dog. That was such a cute dog. All right. Thank you for being with us, Terry Ann and Robert.
Thank you
for having us.
See you soon.
We appreciate it. We'll see you very soon.
This will be uploaded for anyone that might have missed it. Will be uploaded to the lakeshorepublicradio.org website under Midwest Beat as soon as Jose can get it up there. He's doing a great job keeping everything current. Much better than when it was in my hands.
Thank you, Jose.
Much better. So we're going to play this one, and we're going to say goodbye. Stick around. Chef Nick is coming in next, and I don't know what he's got, but it smells good. I've been smelling food the last half hour. So, Jose, do you know who his guest is? You have no idea. It's a mystery, but it smells good. I'm sticking around for some food. All right. Five Below, Robert Rolf Pedersen. Adios, everybody. I'll see you on Tuesday.
it's cold. Heck, it's cold. Well, heck, it's really cold. And if it's hot, that's the spot. And I'll be cashing in on the parking lot. Carl's bad, sounding good. Carl's bad, sounding really good. Oceanside, time to ride.
A little Jerry Lee Lewis ending there. Five Below, Robert Rolf Feddersen, and B&B Cafe, one of my favorite places to get breakfast with my son Dylan, is in the house with Chef Nick. So let's eat. It's coming up next. Stay with him.